The Army may have tanks and howitzers and some of the best soldiers in the world, but when it comes to online scams, service members and their families are as vulnerable as everybody else. That's why the Army issued one of the more interesting sources SOT notices in the past year. In his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about why the Army needs help in fending off fake social media accounts, and he joins me now to discuss. So, first of all, what do these accounts do? What's the problem with them?
So many times what happens, Tom, is somebody makes a fake account on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn and then tries to get other people who maybe that this service member or their family knows to send them money. So it becomes a fake online scam. And, you know, it could be anything from the Nigerian businessman that we all know so well to fake, you know, notes from the IRS or the fake notes from other government agencies. But I think what the Army is seeing here is that this is a growing concern. And I think service members specifically are being targeted and their families. And there's two notices that the Army sent out. And I'll use notices very broadly. Press releases. Hey, watch out for this type of notice. Is not like a official notices like a policy or something.
Not Fed biz ops.
No. This is just hey, soldiers and families, watch out for this. And during Valentine's Day and in early January, mid-January, they sent notices about online scammers saying trying to take advantage of soldiers and other family members. So I think that this is where partly this is coming from, but it's kind of hard to say why else they're doing this and why are they going through a contracting process. You know, the first step of request for information.
So that is in Fed biz ops.
That is in Fed biz ops. And I think that's why this is so interesting, is what they're asking for. And basically what they're saying is tell us, you know, what vendors are out there that can do a couple things. An existing commercial available user-friendly web-based solution to monitor and mitigate imposter profiles on social media platforms. They also talk about a solution that's automated and secure, as well as one that at a minimum could look at platforms, again, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, Skype, Instagram, YouTube, as well as the ability to include new social media networks as they arise. And I think, Tom, that why I pointed this out is, yeah, there are FedBizOps notices that come out every day. But number one, the government already has what they call a U.S. Digital Registry. This is run by GSA,
right,
where agencies can get their social media accounts at least said, yes, this is me, was verified. But this is aimed at helping soldiers, families, even generals who maybe aren't, or they're official, but they're not necessarily the official Army account.
Interesting that they say in that look, that industry call for help, monitor
right
social media. That could mean a lot of things.
I think they're looking for examples of fake social media accounts and then verifying they're fake and then getting rid of them. I think that's part of the monitoring and looking at. The other thing is I've talked to some people who are experts in this field. Martha Doris, a former GSA executive who was in charge of some of the social media activities at GSA, she says, I've never actually seen an RFI like this in the past. And that's the other reason I kind of thought this was more interesting, Tom, is because this is becoming a problem. You know, David Thornton on our staff wrote a great story about alt accounts that are really looking at alt Homeland Security, alt FBI, alt Interior, alt EPA, and these alt Twitter accounts that are rising and saying, hey, we want to put out what we think is the real news versus what they think is maybe unofficial or unfair news from the Trump administration. This is not related to that, but it's this rise of social media and the power of social media. And then add on top of that, the scammer artists are taking advantage of these access and how much information you and me and everybody else puts out there. And I think this is why this has stood out to me so much.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. You also write about this week category management. This is something that has been ongoing like a cannonball for quite some time now, but now small business is raising some concerns about this whole idea of government buying as one enterprise.
This was an Obama administration initiative. It's unclear whether and how this will continue along in the Trump administration. Now, Tom, we know a couple things. From what I've heard from sources, the Trump administration, the transition team, and current kind of special advisors that are working within the administration are giving fairly positive feedback to those I've talked to around category management. Then again, people in industry have said they hope that category management gets changed in a big way. And what I write about, Tom, is no matter what happens to it, I think small businesses have a lot of anxiety over how the government is changing the way they buy and how are these agencies, when they talk about category management, which is this concept of buying volume, buying as one, not just 10 separate contracts or 30 separate contracts for a commodity service like IT help desk or even office supplies, that there's one or a limited number of of contracts. And I think that's those, that consolidation issue, that buying and volume issue, all starting to concern small businesses, because how do they play? And if you look at strategic sourcing, what happened, let me just point out the office supplies, Schedule 75, we've written a lot about that over the years. If that's any sort of precursor to what could happen, where GSA went from 500 small businesses down to 14 small businesses, and then, you know, all but mandated the use of these strategic sourcing contracts, that's where all this anxiety is coming from.
Yeah, because office supplies are low margin items, high volume, low margin items. And for small business to try to sell the same thing that Staples and that kind of company, it's very hard to manage.
And just the industrial base issues as well that goes with it. You know, I talked to John Sciarca, who's a former SBA official who ran the Government Contracting and Business Development Office during the Obama administration. He goes, there's this idea that, you know, you have to understand the market and how does something like category management affect the marketplace. He said the SBA pushed for an analysis, an impact analysis, that I'm not sure was ever done or will be done by the GSA and OFPP specifically. At the same time, he goes, we are seeing some trends that are popping up because each category manager had small business plans due. And part of the thing that John Sciarca pointed out, but also others, is on-ramps and off-ramps to give access to new and emerging small businesses and ones that maybe didn't make it on the first time. And they're starting to see some of those trends. So I think that's positive news. But really, as Tom, the intent around small business is always clear. It's the implementation, the action that behind it is sometimes where the government falls short.
Yeah, and if they have to reach that small business goal year after year, and they're also buying on mandatory national contracts, those are not exactly the most compatible goals.
Exactly. I think that's why there's this concern. And will small businesses be pushed to what they, you know, a lot of subcontracting opportunities? And we know that there's always problems with subcontracting opportunities as well. Specifically, you know, where is the oversight coming from? And are the bigger companies meeting their small business subcontracting goals? So I think this is just an emerging issue that I heard at the ACT-IAC GSA Category Management Conference. And I think it's something that we'll see how this administration moves forward with category management, but it's something to watch out for.
And we have a sad note, too, that you're reporting on, and that is the death of Howard Schmidt, who was the first White House cybersecurity advisor and was there several years and was one of the pioneers in this whole latest federal gambit for cybersecurity.
Absolutely. You know, unfortunately, Howard Schmidt lost his battle with cancer back in March 2nd. And you know, he was someone who we've dealt with in the past over the years. He was always a very good interview, always very approachable. And he was a really driving force in the Bush administration, George W. Bush, and also the President Barack Obama's administration around cybersecurity. He was a big proponent of the identity management NSTIC program that NIST is now running, that's showing a lot of good examples. And he was also was one of the first people to come out with this idea of a critical infrastructure protection board and a national cybersecurity plan for critical infrastructure. That was back in 2012. One quick thing about Howard Schmidt I think people should understand is he didn't start his career in cybersecurity. He actually enlisted in the Air Force in Vietnam, served three tours, won three Bronze Stars, and fell into cybersecurity like many people do, became a part of the FBI's National Drug Intelligence Center, and then eventually the Air Force's Office of Special Investigations and Computer Forensic Lab.
He'll be missed. Howard Schmidt, Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Appreciate that update.
My pleasure, Tom.